This is Continuing Missions, a TrekMate Family production. Find this and other podcasts at TrekMateFamily.com. Welcome to Continuing Missions, a Star Trek Voyager book review podcast. We will be reviewing and discussing the continuing missions of the Starship Voyager beyond the television show, but not tonight. So grab a cozy spot, nestle up to your Netflix account, turn it to Fairhaven, and join us for a crazy drinking game. This is Caroline from Ohio.
And this is Sarah from California. And it's just your two favorite ladies today. Again, we're reprising you and I drinking and being the only one. So hopefully we don't get as shit-faced as for that Friday Chaotic episode. But we don't have any nachos either. And it's Super Bowl weekend when we're recording. And that's like the National Nacho Day. So
it's true. We should have had nachos.
I know. Anyway.
Nachos are delicious.
Since tonight is a drinking game, we will open up with what are you drinking? Do you want to say what you're drinking first?
I am having a bourbon and Coke.
A bourbon and Coke? What?
I know. Surprise, surprise. Whoever would have guessed.
Nobody. Anyway.
Nobody.
Nobody.
What are you drinking, Sarah?
Tonight, I have a shot plus, a healthy shot, of mezcal. And I also have a beer, the Fiesta Latina from last time we did a drinking game. Because I don't think I could do multiple large glasses of mezcal. So we saw it happen.
Yeah, gotta pace yourself in a.
But both are agave based drinks. So
interesting.
My agave beer, my agave
going on.
Yeah. So, all right. So tonight we're going to be watching Fairhaven and playing a drinking game. So let's see. The episode Fairhaven. It first aired the 12th of January 2000. It was actually the first Star Trek episode after the turn of the century. It's Fairhaven. Wow. A little bit of trivia there. Burning my trivia before we even start. this is the 11th episode of the 6th season. And the summary is, the crew relaxes in Paris's latest holodeck creation, an idealized 19th century Irish village where Captain Janeway falls in love with a holographic character. Wah, 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 wah. And we're doing this because last time was overt Scottish stereotypes. So now we're going to do overt Irish stereotypes because that's what Star Trek's all about.
Apparently.
All right. The rules of the drinking game. Nope. It's going to be one drink for the following things. Number one, overt Irish stereotypes, which might get rocky because the whole episode is kind of that. But, you know, we'll drink more or less as we're feeling, I suppose. for the line, delete the wife. For anytime Seamus needs money. For Seamus saying, but I've broken the fifth commandment again, because that's also the fifth commandment in the Catholic order is thou shalt not kill. So,
yeah,
it's honor thy father and mother, and if you do it in a different order, which maybe that's what he broke, but I like to think he's just the murderer and everyone's okay with that.
There he goes, being a drunken murderer again. Those Irish.
A drink for Tuvok or B'Elanna, since they never had to go to Fairhaven. Fairhaven clothes outside the holodeck or uniforms inside Fairhaven. When Janeway's sex life is publicly discussed.
Yes.
The made up reason why they can't just turn the holodeck off and they're going to like lose it or something. And then anytime anyone says subroutines. And there is a special finish your drink for when Chakotay talks about his hollow fleshlight on the bridge.
Awesome.
All right. So you ready, Caroline?
I am ready.
All right. For those at home, we're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. So this is very exciting. Does a steam locomotive get to be a stereotype, or are we to stereotypes yet?
not yet. I mean, If that's the level we're working with, then we're just going to be through the street drinking the entire time. I don't. This is some intensely quaint village action going on.
It is. Ooh, I like that puppy in the background, though. What kind of dog is that?
Good morning, Tom.
Oh.
Oh, God. Those accents. I need to drink for that.
Tom's horrible Irish accent is going to be added to the list.
Really? What do you see, Tommy, boy? The good Lord blessed me with a fine wife. I'll never forget the day I met her.
So, here's Seamus. Mm-hmm. I think he's about to ask for some money.
I think he is. I keep waiting for it. He's really taking his time getting there, though.
Yeah. Well, okay, his horrible accent, I think, is an overt Irish stereotype, right?
Don't you believe it?
This whole conversation is so weird and
it's definitely something. All right, and
there
Tom's
we go.
Asking Seamus for money. That's a drink.
Yeah.
So, fun fact: the set that they're using is the same set on the backlot of Paramount that they filmed The Killing Game in. So it is just generic.
Interesting.
Irish.
I can kind of see it. Like, depending on how you dress it up, it could be just about any old European something.
Yeah. Charmed to have met you, Harry. Charmed? Oh my gosh, that is quite the hat that Harry has on. Like,
it is.
Okay, somebody being promised to a pig farmer,
yeah, that
is
seems
that
like some weird stereotype. I mean, I don't even know if that's specifically an Irish stereotype, but that's just some weird, like, look at how backwards they are. So I'm gonna drink for it. Leprechauns, oh god, that's definitely a drink.
I think I'm gonna change it from Tom's horrible Irish accent to anyone. Anyone's horrible Irish accent. Mm-hmm. So the doctor being the priest, that is like, I don't know, it's definitely, he's like gonna write a homily for Sunday Mass, like,
mm-hmm.
It's weird. This whole thing is weird. Why, like,
it is. It is.
So the question is, I think,
mm-hmm.
All right, here comes the theme. So I think one question I have is this more offensive or less offensive than a Sub-Rosa? Because here's my
mm-hmm.
thought.
Okay.
That these are overt stereotypes that are Tom's creation. And does that make it better or worse? Right, because with Sub-Rosa, it's like people were like actually acting that way, whereas these people are all pretend.
Yeah.
Is that like... Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say it's better for the Star Trek people creating it, but worse for Tom. So... They're not telling us that Irish people were actually like this because they're not real Irish people. We know that it's created by someone who just is looking for something fun to do, not for anything else. I mean, like, they kind of talk about authenticity, but, like, it's Tom. Whereas with Sub-Rosa, like, the show is supposedly giving us actual Scottish people being Scottish on their Scottish planet. So in that way, I think this is probably better, but then that just means that it's Tom being kind of
super racist,
lazy, and creating this fake stereotype because he thinks it's cute, and yeah. So it's Tom being thoughtlessly racist, as he is. Like, I mean, his character is actually fairly consistently
thoughtlessly racist,
colorblind. In a way that is sometimes bad, but it's never intentional on his part. Like, he's always well-meaning about it. He's just...
Oh, he broke the fifth commandment again.
Oh, my God.
He killed somebody. Cheers.
Okay. Drink. Of course, there are other episodes where I feel like they actually kind of at least somewhat address Tom's colorblindness and how he's missing things because of that.
Here's a Starfleet uniform in Fairhaven. Drink.
Yep, drink. But here it's not addressed. Like, it wasn't intentional. They're not, like, saying anything about Tom's personality. They're just writing lazy stereotypes.
Yeah. It would be more interesting if this was some kind of meditation on lazy stereotypes, but it clearly isn't.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not
going to
give it credit for something it's not.
Okay, can we drink for that guy's look? That mustache? The guy that Harry's arm wrestling
with? Whatever is going on with the face here. And I'm sorry, Harry wouldn't be able to, there's just no way.
No, Harry would super duper lose this.
You realize how much Garrett Wong loved.
Okay. You know that Tom, wrote the program to give that to him, though. Tom would totally do that.
He's like,
everything is authentic. Okay, can we drink for people calling this authentic? Because that's ridiculous.
To the list. So take a drink. I'm adding everything. Anyone says authentic. Authentic. Oh, I spelled it right. Cheers for spelling it right.
Yay. It's because you're not drunk yet.
Actually, I might be the kind of speller that it gets marginally better with a little bit of drink. Oh, God. Tom,
okay, wee bit. I'm going to call that drinking for an Irish stereotype.
Well, okay. Actually,
or is that a horrible Irish accent? He did a bit of an accent on it.
But do Irish people say we, or is it just Scottish people?
Doesn't that make it worse?
Yeah, it would make it much worse. We need an expert opinion, Kieran, so if you can tell us about... I know Scottish people say we, so don't know how far that propagates.
Yeah. I was about to say drink for Chakotay, but it's not Chakotay, it's Tuvok and B'Elanna. But there's B'Elanna, so yay!
There's B'Elanna, drink!
You don't have to suffer through this!
Yeah, B'Elanna was like, Tom's like, do you want to come to my authentic Irish town? And she was like, no, I don't. Among the many things I don't want to do is that. Your racist town is not on the list of ways I want to spend my free time. We can go drive the Kemiro if you want, though. So I love the plot here. It's like, oh, there's a storm.
Yeah, I think they really, really phoned it in on this one.
Yeah, it was like they used all their money on making an Irish town, and then we're like, okay, so what do we do with the Irish town we just built?
I feel like it's like that a little bit sometimes when you're writing fan fiction. Like, there's the one thing that you actually want to happen, but then you gotta throw all this other stuff in there to justify it. But you really don't care about that, so it's lazy and not thought out very well. Except they're actually paid to do this.
Yeah. No, it's. I do like to criticize other people and their work at their own jobs, and then think about if I did my job like that, what would happen? And then I wonder if I am doing my job like that, and I just can't see it. So,
well,
yeah,
you're clearly thinking about this too much.
It's true. It is true. Catherine Janeway is very pretty in this episode. I will say that. She's got nice hair going on. Her hair is all over the
it's
place.
It's nice in this one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
B'Elanna has cool.
You mean
B'Elanna
in a way that it's changing a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not
bad.
All over the place.
No, she's not it's frizzy or.
I mean, that would be weird.
No, it's that she has a lot of different styles, and I Kate Mulgrew's hair. Versus when they don't. Mm-hmm. But I do like the intricate bun styles as well, just from a intricate bun point of view. I don't know. Anyway.
Just admit it. You want to watch Persistent... Wait, what? Is that the one with her Victorian holiday program?
Well, there's several.
Didn't she have some elaborate buns going on in that?
Yeah. So Janeway meets her hollow dildo. It's love at first sight.
Kate Miller-Fulcher.
So
it's an old Irish saying.
Okay. That is actually true, but let's drink anyway. So I have two screens set up so that I can watch the episode on one and see everybody else on the other. But it's like cutting off the subtitle. So when she said yet, it looked like vet. on this, and I was like, why is she talking about a vet? Oh, that's not what she said at all. I just a bit more. I can see that. I really can't, but thanks. So, afraid to lose. Have you ever heard of this game, Rings? Is Rings a over Irish stereotype?
You know, I honestly don't know. I was just wondering about that. Like, him trying to convince her to play this. Like, is there something going on here that's stereotypical? But I honestly don't know.
Or does he just want to get in her pants?
He obviously just wants to get in her pants.
Okay, traditional Irish game of Rings.
Oh, but we forgot to drink, though, for her Starfleet uniform on the holodeck.
Oh, we did. That's true. Drink. Another ringer. So the game of
Rings, is there being a beer stain? Like, is that
a beer stain
feeding into a stereotype? I mean, having a beer stain isn't specifically, but
are you saying stain or stein?
Stain.
Where's his stain?
You said something about, like, I think there was a stain on the floor and they were talking about where they were going to stand.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was looking up the game of Rings.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a pub game. I guess it's kind of like darts.
That's not a woman's game, Katie. You could get hurt.
I'm stronger than she wants to arm wrestle now. This is the beginning of sex.
This is the beginning of sex. Do you start with arm wrestling, Sarah?
Doesn't everybody? You have to, like, display your dominance, right? Like, how
through
else?
Arm wrestling.
Through arm wrestling. Like, that's how one initiates sex, isn't it? Either that or thumb wrestling, right?
Unless you're Klingon and then you're throwing heavy objects at each other.
It's true. So, like, is kind of the overt violence, like, of this episode a Irish stereotype? Like, the arm wrestling and the... Or is it like a old timey like stereotype?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like with Voyager, that kind of just feeds into like a general stereotype about like anything kind of back in the day when people were cheerfully violent and I don't know, slightly sexist. And
cheerfully violent and slightly so here's the wife that gets deleted.
Thank
you very much. It's very exciting.
That's quite some hair she's got.
Yeah.
Drop in again before you leave town.
I will.
So now we're back on Voyager. Everybody needs to be inoculated against
the storm.
Because that's how storms work.
Oh my god. Kate Mulgrew is like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, in this scene, like, it's kind of just insanely adorable, but also just so bizarre for a way to act in front of, like, everyone as the captain. She's just, like, so flirty and happy.
Yeah, it...
The little, like, pulling her shirt away from her neck is quite something.
It really is.
But also, it is kind of adorable. Like, look at you. You're so cute.
It is. I totally agree with everything you were saying. This episode's really fucking weird, though.
He takes a vow of silence and never speaks again. Wait, so what's Tom talking about? I stopped paying attention. I was thinking about Kate Mulgrew.
He was talking about the doctor.
Okay, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
Drink.
Uh-oh. 30 seconds. Let's see it. Is the holo dildo coming up there on the bridge?
They are on the bridge. I can't remember. How many times do we see them on the bridge? Is this...
He's
no, it can't be yet. It can't be yet because they haven't run into each other in Fairhaven yet.
Yeah. That's some great blue jello they have going. Whoa, that was a very harsh cut there, CGI person. Oh, a drink for Tuvok.
Tuvok!
Turbulence is decreasing. Shields are holding.
So,
oh, her hair is all distressed now.
Her hair is distressed.
That's how you know that something's going wrong in the ship.
Yeah.
The hair changes.
Have you ever tried to make your hair come off your head like they do in Star Trek? I mean, look at how much...
Like the way that it comes up?
Yeah. It's like a good 2 inches. Like, I don't even know how... Like, my hair would never do that. Ever. I mean, the amount of hairspray that has to be involved for that to happen.
It's gotta be a lot.
Tremendous. Like, with the wigs, I can see it more, but that's her hair. They've done something to her hair to make it do that. My hair just kind of limply lies on my head like seaweed on a rock. God. This is the I just hit my earphones gesturing. Anyway, her hair is the opposite of seaweed on a rock. It's like what's the opposite of seaweed? Fish? Fish in the ocean?
I don't know.
She's looking at him so seductively.
Well, she's got some like, goals here.
I've actually been to Trinity College. I mean, like, not as a student or anything, but we went to see the Book of Kells. In the library. The library is very cool there. Mm-hmm. In any case. Mm-hmm. When we were there, in fact, it snowed like a foot in Dublin. And Dublin did not know what to do with that, and the whole place shut down. And then telling people how to walk so they didn't fall. Because it's like, the thing is that it was cycling, like it snowed a foot, and then it would cycle between above 32 degrees and below 32 degrees. Mm-hmm. And so it was melting, freezing.
Yeah.
They were like, be careful.
Why does she have to increase his height? Why does that have to be such a thing?
Because women love tall men. It's the bane of all short men's existence.
And all tall women's existence.
That too.
Like, yeah. He's already taller than her.
Actually,
this
so...
This is so unnecessary.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I guess maybe that makes him more like Chakotay.
Yeah.
Delete the wife!
Modification complete.
So I'm a foot shorter.
I do love the way she says it.
Yeah. I'm a foot shorter than my husband. His sister-in-law is over 6 feet tall, and she was not pleased when I got with my husband, not because of me specifically, but because, drink for Tuvok. But because she was like, why did this, because my husband's tall. She was like, why do these short girls have to get with the tall guys? There aren't very many tall guys.
You're taking them all away from her. How dare you?
I don't know that she's mad at me. She may have been disappointed in Dylan for, like, not...
Well, yeah, I mean, presumably she's not trying to get with her brother. So.
No, that's very true. I mean, that's even if they were brother and sister, that would be a bad match.
We could add a lighthouse. It's Fairhaven, Harry. Sunshine? Tuvok.
Poor Tuvok. Irish Sea Coast. Like, he feels sick, and Harry
and
Tom
he has to deal with Harry and Tom being obnoxious.
Yeah, it's hard to be Tuvok.
It is hard to be Tuvok. Imagine yourself sitting. Oh, poor Tuvok.
Salt air. What are they doing? These guys
all
are
the
jerks.
Gestures. They're like just Tuvok there being nauseous and horrified, and like, oh God, please stop.
I get the idea.
Yeah, he's like.
He just looks so distressed.
And then, like, poor, yeah.
A traditional Irish meal.
I think, should we have put something for traditional? I think traditional and authentic can be, like, so let's drink for that.
Yep.
I feel like we should do a better job pre-screening these.
Yeah, well.
But if you're watching, or if you're watching, you're not, no one's watching this podcast.
Don't they want to see our beautiful faces?
I'm glad that nobody watches this podcast because that means I don't have to like get ready for this podcast.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Katie O'Claire.
Leggings and a hoodie and my new little Starfleet tank top I got for Christmas. So it is very casual up in here.
And casual Friday on Continuing Missions. Why would you go sit at the train station on an uncomfortable bench? Like, that seems weird.
Excuse me, sir. Is the train to Galway running on time?
Anyway,
Set it up intentionally.
Oh, she's like, yes, I like a man who loves adventure. Anyway, I like all the sheep in this episode because I'm particularly like fascinated with sheep. They're so fluffy. Like the little like cotton ball. Well, they're not cotton, they're obviously wool, but you know what I mean. But so anyway, there's these, when we drive to work, there's sheep on the way to work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I always like to look at them and see what they're up to. And now that my husband and I commute together, I have to inform him every day about the sheep's activities. And then their land went up for sale, which was very sad because, but like, it's been like a year or two that the land's been for sale and the sheep are still there. So okay. I don't know.
Haven't gone anywhere yet.
Haven't gone anywhere yet. The sheep have not sold their land, but, but the thing is,
well, but so if they don't sell their land, how will the sheep buy their house in the city?
I know. Like,
they're all going to live in together.
It's a bad idea. Oh, my goodness. So I gave my this was a couple years ago, but I gave my coworker's five-year-old some Easter candy. It's like chocolate eggs and sheep and chickens and things. And so I was playing with him in the candy and it was like making like bad puns. And my coworker wanted to murder me after that because the kid would not stop. He just kept on, like, I left in the bat, like, just continued for like a couple days. I maybe won't let me talk to his son anymore. I don't know. So that was my interaction with a child a couple years ago. All right, I don't even know that we're watching this anymore. Oh, yeah. But look at that dog. That's a nice looking dog. I think that's that same dog I commented on earlier. Like some kind of hound or something? Anyway.
I didn't see it again. I missed it. I keep missing it.
I think it's a...
Who does read poetry in strange places?
Oh, it's a Starfleet uniform in Fairhaven.
Starfleet uniform Fairhaven. Also, cockblock? I know we're not officially drinking for that, but I feel like it just feels right.
Yeah. No, Chakotay's like, I'm sorry, my cock is supposed to be here right now. You're like, I've been working on this for 6 years now.
You're not just going to step in here now.
Yeah. Hollow cock, out of here. Oh, my goodness.
Now that I've ruined the mood, I can leave because nothing's going to happen now.
<That's> Chakotay. I don't know what she was commenting on. We should watch this episode more carefully. Oh, I think this might be.
Oh yeah, I think this is it. So yeah. Is he in a chair? Or is he just like on the edge of her seat or something? What is he sitting?
He's still cock blocking. I feel like he needs his cock
he's like,
higher.
I'm going to
display my penis.
Display my dominance by being really close to you, and. Being up in your space.
I love Tuvok's like shut the fuck up face. Don't mention it. Hill's most green hearts unseen. Yes.
Catching up on a little reading. Those hills and hearts wouldn't happen. In Ireland.
They probably are. It's not what you think, Chakotay.
He knows. Like... We all know, Catherine. It's okay.
Yeah. An interest in Irish penises, you mean?
Great bartenders.
Because he's onto
it. Calling you out, Catherine.
Now he's like, I think you altered him. Did you make his penis bigger too? Girthier? What is it that you like, Catherine? Why is my penis not good enough?
What do I need to do?
The doc is like really good at, you know, plastic surgery, we could make something happen. This bad boy could be girthier.
Too bad he's made of photons and force fields.
I never let that stand in my way. Finish your drink. Three.
Oh, cheers for the hollow dildo. No, not hollow dildo. Sorry. Hollow fleshlight.
Hollow fleshlight. Cheers. Hollow fleshlight. Okay. Finish your drink. Oh, that was a lot of mezcal all at once.
There we go. Oh, good thing that was in the middle of the episode, so I didn't have too much to finish.
I planned one thing in this episode.
You planned that one real well, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Does an Irish jig count for a over Irish stereotype?
I mean, not necessarily a negative one. Like, I think that's like a real thing, but still, it's definitely.
I'm going to a wedding in Scotland in a couple in a month, and they're going to do the traditional dancing. And there's also an option to rent a kilt.
Oh,
husband is not interested. Oh, now she's got the come fuck me eyes.
Yeah. Catherine is not messing around. She knows what she wants, and she's like, yeah, everyone can leave.
Yep.
I'm busy.
Yep.
I might even kiss you back.
She goes,
I think you might do a little more than that, Catherine.
Yeah, she's going from, like, they haven't even kissed yet. Like, this is very quick. I mean, not that you can't be quick, just...
I mean, there's no point in taking your time with a hollow dildo. Like,
it's true. If you have a dildo, you don't romance it first.
Yeah.
it's
there for a reason.
Yeah. Although now I'm thinking about candlelight dinners with dildos. Yeah, so that's an interesting, you know, point. Like, if he is a hollow...
What's an interesting point? That you don't romance your dildos?
Yeah, no, it is. Because because I think that's the problem with this episode. I mean, not problem with the episode, like the episode is a problem, but I think that's Janeway's fundamental issue, is you don't romance your dildos. And she, like, is...
Is?
Is, exactly. Like, she wants to go on dates with the guy and, like, go dance jigs, and you don't take your dildo out for dinner. Like, that's just not how it works.
That's
right?
What you do with an actual person.
Yeah, I think that's the fundamental and actually interesting conflict of this episode is
she has this thing that she wants and isn't getting, and she's trying to get it from the hollow dildo, but she can't because
it's a hollow dildo.
It's not the same.
Yeah,
it's good for one thing, which is nice, but is not everything. And that maybe isn't actually what she wants. I mean, she wants that, but she also wants other things.
Someone was going to sing Danny Boy. I think that deserves a drink.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I will say that we have gotten much better at drinking in these drinking games and choosing our alcohol wisely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we only have 15 minutes left and we're not shit-faced.
It's true.
I feel like you should just drink every time Seamus is on. He's just like a walking stereotype.
So, for Starfleet uniforms in Fairhaven, does Seven's outfit count?
Seven counts.
I mean, it's not really a uniform, but it's her.
No, it's non-period.
Starfleet garment. Yeah, it's not.
Then in that case, perhaps we should sit down.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. It's called Old World. What'll it be, gentlemen?
You.
Nothing for me.
Is that Harry Lusty?
Oh my god, Doctor.
Where's Michael?
Like, you're not even real. You can drink all you want. Oh. What's he drinking?
Oh no. Pouty hollow dildo. Subroutine.
Subroutine. We haven't been watching for that one.
I don't think I'd heard it yet.
Are these seats taken? I think it said seven times, anyway, so. So now I'm imagining, like, if you have a pouty dildo that's just like in the drawer and it's sad because you're not visiting it. Why haven't I been in your vagina recently?
Is it gonna get mad and not work anymore?
I know, it's like
good care.
Like, fine, I'm gonna run out of batteries.
Oh, but that kind of happens though. Like, you get old batteries and then they go bad, and then you haven't used in a while and they start to leak.
Oh, do not put a corroded dildo up there. No, no, no. You do not need battery acid. Battery acid and vaginas don't mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, battery acid doesn't mix with many things, but definitely not those.
So,
oh my God, is he getting like drunk and angry?
Yeah, that's an Irish stereotype. Is that kind
of stereotype? Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what happened? I think, like, Janeway's sex life might be being discussed publicly at this point, so that's a drink.
Yeah, that's a drink.
Because Tom has put it all together now.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is like, oh.
Nope, he hasn't.
Oh, he's now he's put it together.
God, you're so dumb, Tom. Come on.
So pretty, but so dumb.
So pretty, but so dumb.
Oh, yeah. Now everyone's like, oh, the captain is fucking this.
Misinterpret. I mean, we're all friends here. Maybe
she was just being friendly. He's like, well, she sat on my dick, so she was being really friendly.
Really, really friendly. What's the matter?
You don't think I'm good enough for her? No. I didn't say that. Yeah. Well, tell me where she's going. I wish that like, I think you're just... Oh gosh. Okay, well, we should
bar fight.
Brawl. Yeah. The doctor yelling, "Love thy neighbor."
Okay, did they not have the safeties on? Like, why is everyone injured from this? This doesn't make any sense. Oh, holodeck costumes off the holodeck.
Oh, yep. Good call. There's been some trouble in paradise.
An altercation in the pub this afternoon. Several crewmen were injured. Why were they injured, though? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe, like... Not exactly. It was, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Looking for someone.
Why don't we... Oh, here comes some more discussions of Janeway and who she fucks. Oh,
this conversation is so weird.
Has to be concerned. Let me guess. That someone is...
Okay, drink for talking about Janeway's sex life in public.
I think at least three for this conversation.
Excuse me.
Oh man, that's gonna stay on air.
That's not the way she wanted him to be shouting her name. Subroutines.
Subroutines. But like,
why is he looking into the alterations she's making? I apologize for overstepping my bounds. But what is he worried about?
He's like, yeah, this is so like, ugh, this is so horrible.
What? Okay. What? Like, she can't have a little fun with her holodildo without getting emotionally invested? Is this some like women can't separate sex and romance thing?
But I think that's why she, like, she doesn't, I mean, that is Janeway's problem at the moment. It isn't that she can't separate sex and love. It's that she wants love, right?
That's true.
Like, I think that, like, it's
subroutines.
Not. Subroutines, thank you.
Also, now that they've gone in a different direction, I feel like this counts as more, talking about her sex life in public.
Yeah, she actually
like another stage of the conversation.
Intimate, where the word intimate was in italics on the subtitles. So, what is it that's working?
Oh, the modifying.
So, like, yeah. So, I think that this isn't so much a meditation on like women can't separate sex from love. It's more that what Janeway wants is a relationship where she's loved, and all she can have is sex from the holodeck character. And so she knows that she can't like fall in love with the holodeck character because that's ridiculous. I don't like where the doctor takes this conversation. He's like, well, I'm real too. And it's like, oh God, like Voyager is so convoluted with who's a person and who's not. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, Voyager's always a little, I don't know, lazy about that. Like, not all holograms are people.
Mm-hmm.
He might be, but he is special and unique. A hologram of a table is not a person.
passing alien. It's true. You can get rid of
it. You can manipulate it. It's just a hologram. And if it's a hologram that looks like a person, that still doesn't make it a person. Just a hologram. He's not real. No, he is not.
He is not.
Not at this point. So he could become that way, like the doctor did.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that...
And they just, like, smush all that together, and I don't think that's reasonable.
Well, I think there's almost a deeper meditation on if the doctor is real, right? Like, I know the Voyager, like...
I do feel like they kind of, like, rushed into that. Like, he was kind of real from the beginning in a way that he shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it's really just, like the first episode or two where people are like, he's just a hologram. And then they're like, oh, no, Kes is like, no, he's not just a hologram. And everyone's like, oh, you're right, Kes. But, like...
How many times did I say shouting your name?
I don't even know what context that was in, but I think it deserves a drink.
I think it does. It was the second time. I mean, I think it's about Michael Sullivan being sad and yelling about her. Oh, he was like
swinging from a light, just shouting her name or something.
Yeah, something.
But, like, anyway... This whole storm subplot's ridiculous. Like, why did we need this?
It's so lazy. Like, nothing happens. It's not interesting. It's just filling time, Tuvok, in between going to the holodeck.
Oh, and there was B'Elanna's voice. Do we drink from B'Elanna's voice? Yeah, I think she's only in one scene in this episode otherwise.
Yeah, I think we might as well, because this is all we're going to get of B'Elanna.
Anyway... Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it's complicated. Like, I don't like that the doctor further complicated this episode by bringing in he could be real, like, aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's complicated enough by itself, because there are definitely people who fall in love with fantasies, right? And
sure.
It can be like, for example, there's a person that you have a crush on, but you don't actually know them. You're like, have a crush on the idea of the person and not the person themselves. And I think that this is an interesting, like, thought about, you know, that kind of fantasy life. And, like, what does it mean to be consumed with your fantasies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because... That's the other... So let's take the stance that he's not real and he can never be real and he can never be like the doctor and be a companion to her life. Because I think that that's like... That's a whole separate argument that Voyager, I don't know, necessarily makes very well to be correct or true. So then, like, the question is, like, where is the healthy point of having a fantasy versus not? I mean, when does a fantasy become unhealthy, I guess, is my point. I feel like I'm rambling. You want to help me out here, Caroline?
Well, I mean, I think you're making a good argument for a really interesting Voyager episode. This is not it.
But I think we missed the sentence where they were like, shut down the holodecks, and Harry had like some bullshit reason why they couldn't shut it down, so we need to drink.
Wait, is that not this one? Is that Spirit Folk? With the whether they could shut it down or not?
No, it just happened. It happens in both episodes.
Okay, it does. Okay.
Seamus.
Oh, maybe it's now. Maybe we're not there.
No, it was before. Like, okay. Harry, like, they needed all the power possible, and she was like, holodecks, everything. And Harry was like, oh, we can't shut down the holodeck. We don't have time. And it's like, what? It was a drink for that. We missed it because we were meditating on things.
Yeah. So. Harry was meditating on Maggie O'Halloran.
Yeah, that's let's have a drink for Harry and his hollow fleshlight.
Mm-hmm.
I love how Tom is, like, in his official capacity reporting on
the status of his holodeck program.
My side project didn't weather the storm very well. Like, I don't go to work and be like, well, we had a real time crunch on this project, and so my fan fiction didn't get written.
Yeah, that would be me going going into work on Monday and telling my boss how my podcast is going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had to record on a Friday, which on the West Coast was tight. Oh, she's like, oh, good. My holodildo is still intact.
Thank God.
Thank God.
What would she do without him? It's not like she can make another one. Oh, but.
It's true. You know. So, okay. So yeah. I don't think for either of their clothing choices, right? Because they're holodeck, but it's not Fairhaven, and he's still holodeck, and right?
Yeah, it's Hololab, and that's different.
So is this the Hololab, or is this the holodeck?
Mm. I don't know. It's got that thing in it. I can't tell.
I can't tell either.
But it's not Fairhaven, so.
It isn't.
Also, okay, I mean, they do make it weird. Like, what is this conversation? She doesn't need to talk to him. He's not a person.
No, he's not. And he has a weird bump in the middle of his nose. Like, I'd be like, computer, delete the bump.
Maybe she likes the bump.
Okay, do you find him attractive? I don't. I don't think
he's okay.
It's a weird, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know.
I mean, it's Star Trek.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I was.
Are the standards of attractiveness lower or higher because of Star Trek? Like,
lower.
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 Because they're enlightened and they aren't, like, swayed by trivial matters.
I don't know. It's. Maybe, I mean, maybe it's not Star Trek versus anything else. Maybe it's just, like, 90s TV versus now. Like, they're all so damn beautiful now, but, like, everyone looks like, they're all attractive people, but they look like normal people still. They're not, like, movie stars. They're attractive but normal-looking people, I feel. Like, so I feel like I was telling my sister that I thought that about my attraction to Tom, and she's like, really? And I'm like, well, he's Star Trek hot. And that resonated with her, and she could understand that. Like, okay, the standards are a little lower.
Well, but I think
it's like everyone that like is attractive, but they're not movie star attractive. Qualification complete.
Save. Oh, she says safe program really funny.
Robert McNeil attractive, not Chris Pine attractive.
Oh yeah, Chris Pine is way more attractive.
Yeah.
Huh. Interestingly, Chris Pine and I went to college at the same place at the same time.
Weird.
I probably walked past Chris Pine and didn't know it because he wasn't famous then.
Yeah, he was not famous then, but he was still pretty then.
He was probably still pretty, and therefore maybe noticed him. All right. Well, this is over. On our voyage of stereotypes. Yeah, so, I mean, let's see. What else can we say about... I want to get back to your point about Star Trek attractive.
We can finish that conversation.
Is it that men previously could be less attractive and still be on TV than today? Because I feel like women can
that's a good point.
Less
so,
attractive and on TV today. Like, because all the Star Trek women, I mean, like, come on. Like, all of them are beautiful. Who's not beautiful from 90s Trek, right?
It's true. It's true. It's definitely less of a difference for the women. The women always have to be attractive. It's really just the men that have upped their game, mostly.
Well, but I feel like if we bring Discovery into the conversation, Tilly is probably the least attractive. I mean, I'm not saying she's ugly. Do not, read me wrong here. But she's not conventionally attractive in the way that
She's not as conventionally attractive because she's not super skinny. I mean,
she has flaws
that.
On her face.
Well, I don't want to call them flaws. She's not
smooth.
It's not completely smooth.
Yeah.
Which is like the more of the conventional standard. So she just doesn't fit in that conventional idea of it. But like, she's still an incredibly attractive woman. But it is deviating from that very specific norm.
Right. And my point is that
there are also a lot of women. The other thing that Discovery has is women that are older.
Yep.
They're all like incredibly, like they're so
oh my gosh. I was looking at a picture of Cornwell. Is that his
name?
Yeah, Cornwell. And like, I'm 20 to 25 years younger than the actress.
Mm-hmm.
And we look pretty much, I mean, she's way thinner than I am, but like we have the same haircut. We have the same number of wrinkles. We both look the same amount of tired. And I'm like, God, what am I going to look at like in 25 years?
Look the same amount of tired.
Also, yeah, her hair. So I just want to point out, her hair does not like go up 2 inches, Cornwell's. Nope, it just sits on her head like normal hair.
It's true. anyway, so like in some ways, I feel like they're keeping with it because all of the women on Discovery are so gorgeous. But they are expanding the range of what that means. That it can be older and have wrinkles. And I don't know. I feel like Cornwell is supposed to look like she's got some gray, and I'm not quite sure. But like I don't think it's natural. Like, I think whatever they've done is like very specific. I don't know. There's some sort of variation in there that looks like maybe it's supposed to be a little bit of gray. I mean, Giorgio has no gray. That's obviously dyed. And her hair looks fantastic and has had a lot of help. But, my God, Michelle Yeoh is like the most beautiful person on the planet.
Okay.
So it's expanding that. So we've got a black woman with natural hair. We've got older women. We've got a woman that isn't skinny. So there's a lot more variation, but they're still all.
Can I just say that? How old is Michelle Yeoh?
55.
Like, the kung fu she can still do, it's like...
Okay, Jesus, you know what my favorite thing is? My favorite thing is all of the men fangirling over getting to fight her.
Yeah.
It's so adorable. I love it so much.
What's Lorca's real name?
Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs saying he felt like a drunk hippo. Like, like my favorite quote.
Yeah, I believe it was a clumsy drunk hippo.
We were actually watching.
But he wasn't even the only one. Someone else early on, when they filmed like the first two episodes, one of the guys was saying something about how he was like, "Oh my God, I'm fighting Michelle Yeoh." It's so cute. I'm like, "Oh, you're so adorable." Yes, that would be amazing. I love her so much.
Yeah. Did you watch Crouching Tiger? She was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember watching that in the theaters. Like, that was nice. That was like, this is completely off topic, but like, there was a whole like time in the 90s where like the kung fu like movies got really popular.
Yeah.
And like, it started with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which was a really good movie. And then like, everybody was like, oh, what makes a really good movie is gratuitous kung fu. And it doesn't. That is not what makes a good movie. I kind of want to watch
it. I do remember that being a really good movie. I've been thinking about rewatching it. I haven't seen it in like,
since the 90s.
15 years? 20 years? When did that come out? I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
A long time ago.
While I look it up.
Yeah.
Way to talk.
Yeah, but I've definitely been... No, I've definitely been like needing to like fulfill my need for more Michelle Yeoh without... Like, I've only got so much Discovery to watch and I need more, so I might need to rewatch that.
2000. So it wasn't the 90s movie.
So
2000.
But yeah, but it's probably been like.
But we just associate it with high school, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I associate it with being in high school. So I might need to rewatch that.
I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember liking it.
I couldn't tell you. Like, what was really going on? I don't know.
In 19th century. How do you say Qing? Or Qing? Dynasty China?
I don't know. I'm not the person.
Warrior
to ask.
Gives his sword, Green Destiny, to his lover to deliver to safekeeping, but it is stolen, and the chase is on to find it. The search leads to the House of Yu, where the story takes on a whole different level. I feel really bad about not knowing how to say that dynasty's name because I did take a class in Chinese history.
Oh God, you know what? I did too, but that was more than 10 years ago, so I'm gonna blame it on that.
God, yeah, of course it was more than 10 years ago. I mean, like, for me, it was it was when I was a freshman.
Yeah, I think mine was when I was a freshman too. So yeah, that was a long time ago. I was 18. I'm about to turn 34. So
a while ago. God, we are.
Yep. Okay. What were we actually talking about though? Originally?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay,
speaking of middle-aged ladies on Star Trek, though, they need to find a way to get a cameo from Shorey Agdashloo to be on Discovery, because that would be amazing.
Like, so for those Discovery who aren't obsessed with her, like Caroline is, she played Commodore Paris.
Yes.
In
Star Trek Beyond.
Star Trek movie.
And the timelines are almost in the same place. Like, they're different timelines, but they're only 10 years apart where we are with the movies and with Discovery. So I feel like you've got this great potential for a little bit of crossover, and they should do that. And it would be distracting if it was one of the main characters, but I think a nice little side character like her would be a great way to explore, and they could bring that in, and it would be super cool.
And
I'm just in love with her. And we already have so many awesome, beautiful middle-aged ladies, and we should just have more. So,
well, and the thing is that they did kill half of their gay couples, so if they could, you know, bring her on to be the lover of Georgiou, that would be great to get some middle-aged lesbians.
My head would like literally explode
these
if they
like major
brought her on, yeah, but brought her on to be Georgiou's partner. Like, I would explode. Amazing. I would lose all of my shit. Be amazing.
Also, Hugh needs to come back. Like, Mushroom Lord Samus should have brought him back, and I don't know why he didn't.
I know, right? Okay, so as of where we are now recording this, we've got 2 episodes left.
Yeah, so
we haven't seen the last 2. So I don't know what's going to happen the next 2 episodes, because there's been a lot happening. So
it's very fast.
Who knows what's left? Things could happen. The way that they talk about it, it sounds like they're going to bring him back, but they've just really been hammering on the he's dead, 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 dead. So I don't know. Which, I mean, part of me thinks just makes it more likely they're going to bring him back, because they're trying to make it dramatic.
Yeah, well, the other thing is Stamets.
I just don't know how they're going to do it. Like, now they're back, so why does Stamets need to even do his Mushroom God thing? I don't
know. Because he loves Hugh. But the thing is that he needs to, the thing that makes me think they might be bringing him back is that Stamets hasn't grieved at all.
He really hasn't. They were too busy for anything in the last episode, so they kind of got to avoid dealing with that. But yeah, like, he hasn't even grieved it. Like, he had his shit way too together.
Yeah.
In the last episode.
Anyway.
So yeah, they should bring him back. And they should also give me middle-aged lesbians.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's not that I don't agree with you, but let's
everyone should agree with me.
On this point, yes.
On all points, obviously. I suppose it's okay if not everyone agrees with me.
Do our final thoughts and ratings for Fairhaven. Also,
wait, are we doing final thoughts and ratings for these?
I don't remember. We're way more sober than we were for that other one.
It's true. What happened on the other one?
I think we did the whole, first of all, it was a bad drinking game. Second of all, we did the whole thing on hard liquor. So,
Well, I mean, I was probably doing the same thing, but I think we just had way more rules, and they were, like, just coming and coming.
Yeah, that's what got us was the Captain Proton name things where we're like, ah! Yeah, like
there were just a few scenes where it was just constant and it was dangerous and a bad idea. So
it wasn't good.
This drinking game, much safer and more reasonable.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. No, I'm good job, Sarah. I was on
at
you.
Making drinking games.
See, you're learning.
It's a skill that I'm going to put on my resume.
It's gonna help you get that next job.
Yeah. So when I go into review for this year, I'm gonna be like, and I've improved my skill at drinking games, so you should promote me.
The important things.
The important things. I mean,
real resume builder right there.
Yeah, it really is. Pacing, timing, it's all really improved. Anyway, I think we have been like giving final thoughts on that. We definitely did for Threshold.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are your final thoughts? And you can give it a rating. Who cares?
Oh gosh, I don't know. It's not a great episode. It's not the worst episode. I had some nostalgic Voyager feels going on. Like I haven't watched Voyager in a while, and like there's just been like a lot of Discovery going on. It's like, oh Voyager, I love you, Voyager. You're flawed, but I love you anyway. Oh Tom. You're also flawed, but I love you. So it was giving me some nice Voyager feels. And I do love, even though they kind of do it in a weird way and they don't do it quite right, like I do appreciate getting to see a female character who like has some sexual desires that she's acting on. And that's fine, even if the doctor's being weird about it, who cares? That's totally fine and that's great, and why shouldn't she do that? So that's good. The Irish stereotypes I could do without. There really isn't much that happens in the episode. No. Like the actual plot is pretty much non-existent. So I don't know, what is this out of? Is this out of 5? I'll give it a 3. It's a 3.
So you think it's an average Voyager episode?
Maybe. It's close. It might be. You know what? No. Yeah. Average Voyager episode. Yeah.
I think this episode is not as bad as everybody says it is. It's not good. I'm not like.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's not good. So I think that the thing about Fairhaven is that it's not like the worst episode of Star Trek, and I think that Spirit Folk is a way worse episode because the whole problem with Spirit Folk is that literally at some point B'Elanna's like, well, if we turn off the holodeck or delete the characters or whatever, this whole problem stops, and everyone's like, no, you can't delete the characters. And I mean, that's the goddamn stupidest, like, that's oh my god, like, you're gonna risk Carrie and Tom's life because you don't want to like accidentally delete some holodeck? That's ridiculous. And here, rightfully so, when she's like, turn off the holodeck, Harry says, that'll destroy Fairhaven. She's like, do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the correct answer.
That's the only possible reasonable answer to that.
Yeah. Anyway. I
also feel like that one might get a little weirder with the straight. Like, everyone gets all, like, superstitious because, like, they're, like, being, like, it's cutting out and being weird.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched that one. I don't really watch it.
Bad episode.
Yeah.
Fairhaven, honestly, if you remove the doctor being weird,
mm-hmm,
and remove the actual stupid Irish town, it's mm-hmm actually an interesting premise. Like the captain is falling in love with a hologram.
It's problems, but it's got some redeeming stuff too. Yeah. So it's fine.
And I think that if you like think of it from like a who else is Janeway gonna fuck point of view, I mean, many people would say Chakotay, but that does complicate things, right? She wants an uncomplicated mm-hmm fuck, right? The holodeck is the place she can get that.
She deserves an uncomplicated fuck.
Right. But the other thing is that she wants to be loved. And
oh, yeah.
As do we all. So I'm not like saying that that's a bad, like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You just can't necessarily get that in the same place that you're getting the uncomplicated fuck. Yeah.
And so it's actually, you know, if you kind of step back from for a moment, it's kind of a, I mean, granted, this didn't exist when they wrote this episode, but it's kind of like a meditation on Tinder or something like this, right? Where you can find the uncomplicated fuck, but like, are you going to find love on Tinder? the actions of people I know says no. I mean, have you ever known a person who grew a relationship from a fuck on Tinder? No. Like, they're out there, I'm sure, but like...
I'm sure they are. I don't know if... I think I'm too old to even speak to this. I mean, to pull the young people.
Well, it's... Yeah, so the thing that's interesting is I know someone who does Tinder, and she... I don't know why she chooses Tinder, because it's like, honey, if you would just use a normal online dating service, you would find what you're looking for. Don't use Tinder. Like, but she like doesn't like hasn't made the connection that like what Tinder is for. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But like I have several friends who have found, you know, the person that they married on online dating. Like, you know, it's just, you have to be using the correct service that has the people that want to like be in a relationship versus.
Oh yeah. There are different services for different services.
Yeah, precisely. And so I think that like, you know, granted this was written way before. I mean, I don't even know if internet dating was a thing. Like, it may have just been in its infancy when this episode was written, so I don't think that's what... But you could, like, extrapolate this to, like, going to the bar scene versus, like, you know, meeting up through friends or, I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know how people met each other. but... So... I think it's interesting if you, like... pull yourself back from the episode and think about it. In the moment, the episode is stupid and ridiculous. And you're like, what the fuck is this? I'm not going to be as generous as you. I'm going to say a 2. Okay. I mean, yeah, like...
That's fair.
I mean, it's not a 1. It's like, that's reserved for like the fight or Unforgivable. I mean, Unforgettable.
Unforgettable.
Unforgettable is possibly one of the worst episodes of Voyager. Because it's not even offensive.
It's
because
so
like
forgettable.
It's so forgettable. So I think the most offensive episodes of Voyager are ones like Retrospect and
Retrospect.
Redemption? No, it's not Redemption. It starts with an R as well.
It does start with an R. Shit.
It's the one with the prisoners in the 7th season. If you talk, I can look it up.
Retrospect, definitely. Whatever that one is.
Repentance. Like, those are offensive.
Criminal justice one.
But, like, the thing about the criminal, especially repentance, mm-hmm. like, I watched that one several times without, like, being like,
Yeah.
Because, like, on its surface, it's actually interesting and, like, you know, there's stuff going on. There's things happening. Mm-hmm. Unforgettable, though? Oh, my God. What a boring piece of crap.
It's so boring.
Boring piece of crap.
I feel like there's a couple other Voyager episodes that are just really forgettable.
Because even, like, Fury, which is a bad episode, you're still like, what the fuck is going on? Why is Kes so angry? Like,
man, that was so weird. Why?
But, like, Spirit Folk and Unforgettable, oh, God, are, like, probably my 2 least favorite episodes of Voyager.
Yeah. I don't like Tuvix. Tuvix is weird. It's just unpleasant to look at him. That's a terrible reason.
But Tuvix, I feel like Tuvix is on the same level of Fairhaven. Because if you like step back from the episode,
well, yeah, it's got what some it's asking concepts.
It's very interesting. And you can discuss, I mean, and Tuvix has been discussed to death and people hate Janeway because of Tuvix and blah, 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 blah. Like, unfairly so, I think, especially with the episode in Enterprise, like Progenitor. It's the one where there's like the third sex that helps. No, sorry, it's not that one. It's the one
where... the one with, what did they call him? Sim?
Well, Trip gets cloned.
Did they kill to save him? Trip's like clone. That's the one that's kind of like Tuvix.
Yeah. Yeah. And Art, the thing is that Trip's clone like does it what's the word? He agrees to doing it.
Well, I mean, he eventually does. Like, he doesn't know at first because he doesn't really know anything.
Right. But the thing is that Archer threatens that he will just kill him. Like, Archer threatens to do the same thing that Janeway did, but Archer doesn't get this much crap for it because he's a white man. So, anyway. But the thing is... but, I mean, yeah.
What's going on here? It's a mystery.
Oh, you know the other episode that's really bad is Rise, the one with Tuvok and Neelix stuck on an elevator.
Oh god, Tuvok and Neelix is always bad. It is.
It's even worse when they're stuck in an elevator.
Oh god,
it's not. Do you think that the genesis of that one was someone was stuck in an elevator and they were like, "Huh, this could be an interesting episode of Star Trek Voyager."
You know what? I would not be surprised. I really would not.
All right. Well, so that's
It just hurts me so much. Like, Tuvok with other people is interesting. Neelix with other people is interesting. Them trying to make Tuvok and Neelix happen, so obnoxious.
Because they aren't actually a good odd couple, right?
They aren't.
Tom and Tuvok are a good odd
couple.
Tom
and Tuvok are so good. It's so good. Now
because
I just want to watch Future's End.
The thing is that Tom
or Gravity.
Does not... Yeah. So the thing is that Tom does not want Tuvok to like him. That's what's so uncomfortable about the whole Neelix interaction is that Neelix needs people to like him and Tuvok's never going to like him ever. Whereas Tom knows Tuvok doesn't like him and doesn't care and just wants to push his buttons, right? And that's what makes a good odd couple. In any case, I think we should wrap this up because we're rambling. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds
good.
Do you
want to read the closing or do you want me to?
I can do it.
All right. Do it. Take us out, yo.
We'd love to hear the thoughts of our listeners on the books or on the show in general. You can leave us a comment on the Trekmate forum, or you can talk to us on Twitter at ContemusPod, Tumblr, continuingmissions.tumblr.com, or Facebook. Facebook.com/ContemusPod. You can also email us at continuingmissionspod@gmail.com or leave us a review on iTunes. We will read and discuss your comments on the next episode. If you're interested in coming on the show to discuss a future book, please contact us. We'd love to have you. Today's mission might be over, but there are plenty more adventures awaiting the Starship Voyager. This has been Continuing Missions, and we'll see you next time.
This has been Continuing Missions. Star Trek Voyager and its related theme music are the properties of CBS Television Studios and Pocket Books, and no infringement is intended. Join us next month as we continue our mission through the novel verse.